Luke chapter 11, please, in your Scofield Bible. Turn to page 1089. We'll be reading the first 13 verses of the 11th chapter of Luke. These 13 verses we'll read responsively. Luke 11, 1 through 13, page 1089. May we please stand for the reading of this passage. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And together on the 13th verse. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for a good day. It's been very special coming to church today. We thank you for this day. It's of course Christmas Day, but it's just Sunday. And it's been just very special being here. Thank you for the messages. Thank you for good, solid, straight preaching. Thank you for giving us what we need when we come here. May our hearts be prepared of thy Spirit once again. And bless, we pray, our preacher to the preaching of the truth, thy word, that which we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
A little thought on a Christmas night entitled, Ask, Seek, and Knock. Let me, before I pray, remind you of the story we read a while ago, and listen carefully as I tell you the story. Jesus had, well, I think I'll go ahead and pray first. Father, help us now as we enter into this message on Christmas night. I pray you'd give us a truth tonight to take home with us that'll help us to help others, to help others, to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. The disciples, the apostles, had followed him, or did follow him, for about 3 years. They heard him preach. They heard him teach. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him cause the dumb to speak. They saw him cause the lame to leap like a hart. They saw him cause unstop the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind. At no time did they ever say, Lord, teach us to preach. At no time did they ever say, Lord, teach us to teach. At no time did they ever say, Lord, teach us to raise the dead. At no time did they ever say, Lord, teach us to heal the sick. At no time did they ever say, Lord, teach us to open blind eyes. Teach us to open deaf ears. Teach us to cause the lame to leap like a hart. At no time. But when they saw and heard the Master pray, there was something about the way He prayed and what He said and how He did it that caused them to come to Jesus. And one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus begins in the second verse, and we won't go to it again, but Jesus begins in the second verse of Luke 11. And for 12 verses, He teaches us how to pray. In response to the request of one of the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. He starts off and he says, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day, it says in Luke, our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That stops it in the Gospel of Luke. Now, in Matthew, it goes on to say, and lead us not to temptation. I'm sorry. It goes on to say, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and so forth. But anyway, in Luke, it doesn't, though it stops the what we call the Lord's Prayer, it does not, however, stop the Lord's lesson on prayer. For then He continues teaching after He finishes the outline of prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. He then continues teaching and talks about a man who at midnight had a friend to come to him. And he did not have any food to feed him or any bread. So he goes to a neighbor and he says, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine whose journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And the man said, No, my children are with me in bed and I cannot rise and give thee. But the fellow keeps on crying. The Bible uses the word importunity, which means much begging. He begged and 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 finally, the fellow, not because he was his friend, but because he kept on begging and bothering him, he gave him as much as he needed. And Jesus says, the Father's that way. If an earthly father gives earthly children what they ask for, how much more will a heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now follow me carefully. I'm talking tonight on the subject, ask, seek, and knock. Now, did you ever wonder why there are 3 words here mentioned in this lesson on prayer? 3 imperatives. Please listen and please do not take notes while I'm preaching. I beg you to listen to me. I'm preaching to you. I'm not lecturing to you. I want you to hear me. Did you ever wonder why our Lord uses these 3 words? Ask, seek, and knock. Well, I think one reason He used the 3 words is the fellow said, lend me 3 loaves. He said, lend me 3 loaves. Perhaps one of those loaves was represented by the word ask. Another loaf was represented by the word seek. Another loaf was represented by the word knock. I do not know that's the case, but perhaps it is. Or, there are 3 parts to us. There are our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. And I think that the prayer would include, Lord, I pray You to give us our total need. Give me what my body needs. Give me what my soul needs. The body being that which you see. The soul being that which communicates with you tonight, and the spirit being that which communicates with God. Could it be that when He said, lend me 3 loaves, He's saying, satisfy all of my needs of my body, soul, and spirit? I do not know. Is that then the reason why He said, give 3 words, ask, seek, and knock? Again, I do not know. Or could it be this? Could it be for the 3 things mentioned here? The only 3 things mentioned we're supposed to ask for. Bread, our bread, daily bread, and then forgiveness of sin, and then bread for other people. In the what we call the Lord's Prayer, He said, give us this day our daily bread, and then He said, forgive us our sins, and then He said, Lord, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine, his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Maybe that's it. There are 3 things mentioned here. Bread for me, forgiveness, and bread for others, and maybe that's why we have 3 things. I do not know. But I want to say this tonight, and here's the crux of the message. These 3 words are not 3 words that mean the same thing. Our Lord is not saying here, don't miss this now, our Lord is not saying here, ask, that's one synonym, seek, that's a synonym of the word ask, and knock, that's synonym of the word seek and ask. No, that's not it at all. There are 3 kinds of prayer that are meant by these 3 different things. Ask, seek, and knock. I want to talk to you tonight about these 3 degrees of need, if you would please. Asking is 1 degree of need. Seeking is another degree of need. and knocking is still another degree of need. Now, I want to take these with you, and I want you to follow me carefully as I talk on each one. First, I want to talk about the word ask. The word ask is a very interesting word. It's a word that means think about it. Think. You say, Lord, I'd like to have this. Don't even say it out loud. It's a kind of a thing that I'd call asking for immediate needs. It is the most elementary form of prayer. God is simply saying, take me into every area of your life. God is simply saying, pray about everything. God is simply saying, pray without ceasing. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. God says there's nothing too little to concern me. And he said the most elementary form of prayer, asking for your immediate needs, that's the word ask. Now, those sweet everyday needs that he fills. I've told a couple of you this already. And I really think you'd have a hard time believing this. I know I would. If you told me this, I'd think you were a liar. I think you are anyway, but you'll have a hard time believing what I'm going to tell you right now, but it's true, and if you don't believe me, I don't care. I'll get paid the 15th and the 1st, whether you believe it or not. But I won't get paid whether you tithe or not, but this little, sweet little thing happened to me this week, and this it's the kind of thing that he's talking about. You think of something. You ask for him, or you might not even ask. You might just think, I'd like to have something. And then God said, I'll give it to you. Here's the story. I was in Ocala, Florida, preaching. I stayed in the Howard Johnson's Motor Lodge there. Now, I hardly ever get a craving for a particular kind of food. My craving is for every kind of food. But I rarely ever get a craving for a particular kind of food. But Tuesday afternoon, I do not know why, but I wanted some frozen yogurt. I don't know why. But I wanted some frozen yogurt, and I liked frozen strawberry yogurt. So I decided I was going to take a walk, and I was going to find me some frozen yogurt. Well, I was staying on a street about like Indianapolis Boulevard over here in Hammond or out in Highland. And so I decided to walk up. I was going to take a walk, and I was going to find me some frozen strawberry yogurt. Now, I was craving. I don't know why, but I was just craving. But maybe it's a middle-aged crisis. I don't know. I hope it is. I'll live to be 120 if that's the case. But I don't know. But I was craving yogurt. I mean, I was craving a strawberry frozen yogurt. Well, I walked 2 miles up one side of the street looking for frozen yogurt. I couldn't find any frozen yogurt at all. Listen to me now. I was looking for frozen strawberry yogurt. Well, after 2 miles up one side of the street, nobody had frozen strawberry. I passed restaurant after restaurant. I passed drive-in store after drive-in store. And no frozen strawberry yogurt. Well, I turned and came back. And I said, okay, if I can't find frozen strawberry yogurt, I'm going to have frozen strawberry ice cream. Strawberry ice cream. Frozen strawberry ice cream. And you'll be old someday, and you won't want... This is Christmas. You're supposed to be nice to me on Christmas. But... Yeah, Santa Claus already come. You don't have to be good for a long time now, do you? But I decided, okay, I'll stop and get some strawberry ice cream. So I stopped this little walk-in place, convenient kind of place, like a 7-Eleven store. And it was not a 7-Eleven store. But anyway, I walked in, and I went over and to the ice cream place, and I got me a half gallon, not a pint. Not a quart, a half gallon. I was craving, folks. I was craving. And of strawberry ice cream. I walked up to pay for it. Now, you won't believe this, and I don't blame you. I do not think I'd believe it if you said it either, but it's true. As I paid for it, I started to walk out the door. A little boy came in. He couldn't have been over 6 years old. A little boy came in. He said, Mr., my mama told me that I ought to exchange this. I got the wrong kind of ice cream. And the fellow looked at him and he said, son, we don't handle this. The boy obviously had gone to the wrong store to exchange it. We don't handle this. We just handle ice cream. We don't handle frozen yogurt. I said, you don't handle what? He said, frozen yogurt. He said, this boy is wrong store. He said he's got some strawberry frozen yogurt and he wants to exchange it for ice cream. But, son, I can't do that. I said, son, you just stand here for a minute. We'll do business. I walked over.
I gave him my half. I said, what do you want? He said, I wanted ice cream, strawberry ice cream. I gave him my strawberry ice cream. I took his frozen yogurt and felt like I was on a honeymoon all back to my room. I was having the time of my life. Now, I wish I could tell you I prayed for that frozen yogurt because that'd make me a good Christian if I told you. I didn't pray for it. I just thought I wanted it. And God knew I wanted it. And so when the Lord says, ask, okay, I thought of this illustration. Haven't talked to you about it in years. You remember Dan Parr, the fellow who had 105 temperature, was dying in the hospital in Philadelphia and was supposed to speak in pastor's school. Listen to me now. Supposed to speak in pastor's school and had cancer. And he got up and escaped from the hospital with his oxygen in his nose and his oxygen bottle with him. And went to the airport and flew here so he could speak at pastor school and stood right here, his oxygen here and his little tube up his nose, and preached in pastor school, 105 temperature, dying with cancer, didn't live long after that. Well, when Dan Parr went to heaven, his wife called me and said, Brother Hiles, would you preach the funeral service for my husband? And I said, well, of course, when is it going to be? She said it'll be at 11 o'clock on Monday. Well, I said, Mrs. Parr, I've got to preach that night in Saginaw, Michigan. So if I can get me an airplane flight, I'll do it. And so I got a flight, got me there to Philadelphia in time to get Ben Salem, yeah. And so I went out to the church and preached the funeral sermon, and then I went to the cemetery, and then I left to come back. But I had a reservation to go back to Saginaw. I was supposed to preach in Saginaw for our brother R.B. Willett that night. But I could not. I got a reservation to Cleveland, no nonstop from Philadelphia to Saginaw. So I got a reservation to Cleveland and then changed planes in Cleveland, get planes from United Airlines to Saginaw. But they did not have any seats available, and so I could not get a confirmed seat. But I told the Lord, now I believe you want me to preach Dan Parr's funeral. And since you want me to preach it, I believe you'll open up a seat there on that airplane. And so I prayed, God, open up a seat now. I know you want to preach Dan Parr's funeral. I think you want me to be in Saginaw on Monday night. But I can't get there because the next plane that leaves Cleveland for Saginaw doesn't get there till late that night. And I said, I've got to have a seat on that plane. So I flew to Philadelphia, preached the funeral, went back to Philadelphia Airport, caught a plane to Cleveland, Ohio, had about an hour in Cleveland, went down to the gate, and I said, I'm waitlisted on the flight to Cleveland. And the agent said, I'm sorry, sir, but you'll never get on this flight. He said, there are 12 people waitlisted ahead of you, and we never do have that many people not show up for a flight on this size airplane. And I said, sir, you don't understand. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I said, I have got to preach tonight in Saginaw, Michigan. And he said, well, you're not going to preach tonight in Saginaw, Michigan, flying out of this plane. He got mad at me. And by the way, I was a little bit righteously indignant with him also. And I said, I've got to get there, man. Now, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I'm supposed to preach in Saginaw. And if I miss this plane, there'll be hundreds of folks there to hear me tonight. And I've had this schedule for months and months and months. And I said, look, I went to a funeral. I said, I've been to a funeral of a loved one. I love Dan Parr. And he was only one. So he was a loved one. And he said, mister, I cannot get you on that plane. I said, I'm sitting right here. And I said, I guarantee you the plane is not taking off without me on it. He said, I'll see to it you don't get on it. And I said, he'll see to it I do get on it. Now get on that plane. He said to me, I was praying. I was a storm. And so he was the storm. So, finally, they started calling off names of people waitlisted. And it was 1 minute before the plane leave, and they called my name. Said, Dr. Jack Hiles. 1 minute. I got on the plane, sat down. Story's not over. The plane was all ready to back off. And in came the agent and said, is Dr. Jack Hiles on this plane? And I said, yes, here I am. He said, Dr. Hiles, another person that was scheduled for this flight has shown up. And he said, you've got to get off. That person's got to have your seat. I said, now hold it. I said, look, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm preaching tonight in Saginaw, Michigan. I said, I'm not getting off this plane. I'm just not going to do it. If I've got a If I've got to sit in the restroom, I'm not going to get off this plane. I'm not going to do it. He said, look, we'll call the police. I said, it'll take more police than you got here in Cleveland to get me off this plane. He said, okay, I'll get the police. And so I stood up. I'd never spoken on a plane before to everybody. I said, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? I said, I have got to be in Saginaw tonight, and I'm about to be put off the plane. I opened my billfold and took out a $50 bill. And I said, I'll give this $50 bill to anybody who will wait and take the next plane and give me your seat. And one lady jumped up and said, woo, I will. She said, why, my, she said, my mother's out there right now. I can spend 3 hours more with my mother and take her out to eat, and we can have a big meal and even buy something. Sure. She gets off the plane. I sit down and go to Saginaw. You see, I'm simply saying that's the kind of thing God's talking about. Story's not over. I worked all the way. I had to work all the way to Saginaw. I just spoke to the fellow beside me when I got on the plane. That's all. And came we're coming down to land in Saginaw. And I said to the fellow, sir, I said, please forgive me. I've not been very courteous to you. I said, I've been working hard here. Only about an hour's flight. And I said, please forgive me. I said, the truth is, I barely got on this plane. Of course, he knew it because he'd heard me make my speech. And I said, I barely got on this plane. I said, I asked somebody, I told somebody to give him $50. I said, the lady who was sitting here is the one that did it, and that's why I'm sitting here. He said, yeah, I know, that's my wife. I broke up a happy home. Now, that's the kind of thing God's talking about here. God said, if you can't get a seat on an airplane, you pray about it. That's what God's saying here. He's saying those sweet everyday needs. Now, look, it's not going to cause America to go to hell if I don't get to Saginaw. But God is simply saying, ask and ye shall receive. Those little everyday needs. I was several years ago. I was in my office and I had a terrible taste in my mouth. I'd just eaten a piece of cheese. I try never to eat cheese before service, but I'd just gotten a piece of cheese and eaten it, and my breath is horrible. In fact, when I eat cheese, usually the first three rows just clean out when I walk out here. And I said, I've got to have me some kind of mint. I didn't have any cough drops. I didn't have any kind of a mint. And I simply said, Lord, I need a peppermint, a little piece of peppermint of some kind. I walked down the alley. One little kid jumped out in the alley and said, Brother Howes, you want this? It was a little round piece of peppermint. Now, God is simply saying, he's concerned about every need you have. I used to say on the broadcast, there's no problem so hard but that God can solve it, and no problem so simple but that God wants to solve it. There's no question so hard or difficult but that God can answer it, and no question so insignificant but that God wants to answer it. There's no burden so heavy but that God can bear it, and no burden so light but that he wants to share it. And so he says, ask. Look, why don't you make a resolution in 1989 that you're just going to ask God everything, every need you've got. Just ask him. He says, I don't get answers to prayers because you don't pray. Ask him. God's concerned about you having some strawberry frozen yogurt. But I'm simply saying those little things. God says, ask. The asking is what he did when he said, give us day by day our daily bread. That's the asking. Now, there's a second word here, not a synonym for the word ask, but a higher intensity in our prayer life, and that is the word seek. Now, follow me. Just as the word ask has to do with the elementary form of prayer, the immediate needs, the incidentals, you might say, of life, now, the word seek is a different thing. The word seek means perennial needs. There's some things you need all the time. For example, you need strength all the time. All the time. You need wisdom all the time. Now that's what the word seek means. The word seek is a stronger word here, and it means the things that you need all the time. Now, what is it, all right? For example, I pray at least 2,000 times a week for the power of God. I know I prayed this afternoon 500 times for the power of God. while I preach. I know at least 2,000 times a week. As you have said many times, I have on the refrigerator in my office the words "Pray for power." I have on the window a mirror where I shave the words "Pray for power." I've got on the wall of my office the words "Pray for power." And I think it's still on the inside of the door, and I've got on my desk and in my briefcase the words "Pray for power." I always need the power of God, so I'm always praying with the power of God. I always need wisdom, so I'm always praying for wisdom. Now, I don't pray for the power of God the same way that I ask God to give me some frozen yogurt. Frozen yogurt is a one-time, incidental kind of a thing. Or a seat on an airplane is a one-time, incidental kind of a thing that God wants me to ask about. Now, they're a higher intensity level. There's some things I'm supposed to always be asking about, and that's seeking. I want to have love all the time. And so I ask God for love over and over and over and over again. Oh God, give me, impart to me your divine love. And oh God, give me your power. Power, God, power. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, I pray for God's power. I pray for God's love. I pray for God's wisdom. I've got a church too big for me to handle. I've got a college too big for me to lead. I've got too many things here. I've got to have God's wisdom. I can't do it by myself. And so I beg God and plead with God. Oh, God, I've got to have it. Now, listen to me. There's some things that you ought to decide in 1989 that you're going to just pray for all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. I've got to have strength all the time. I pray for God's strength. I've got to have power all the time. I pray for God's power. I've got to have wisdom all the time. I pray for God's wisdom. I've got to have love all the time. I pray for God's love. I remember the night that my dad left our house for the last time. He often was gone weeks at a time, but I remember he left, never to return. My little mother came back that night. She thought I was asleep, and she knelt on the beside the bed where I was sleeping, and she began to pray. My mother prayed that night. She told me later, she prayed that night. She said, "Dear God, I don't have a job. I don't have any money. I don't know how I'm going to rear this boy. But, oh, God, if you call him to preach, I'll do the best I can to make a man out of him." And she said, "Oh, God, you've got to take care of us, and you've got to supply our needs." I heard that little woman every night as I was growing up. Every night I heard her say, "Oh, God, give me wisdom and power to rear my boy. Oh, God, supply my needs." That's one thing wrong with us. We'll beg God to supply our needs, and then God does, and we stop. No, no, no. Always asking God for strength. I and power and wisdom and these things that are perennial needs. That's what it means in Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord, they that just stay there all the time shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So God is simply saying there's some things that are incidental needs, are immediate needs. You ask for those, and that's it. Now, there are other things that you need all the time. For example, every time I preach, I beg God just for this. I say, "God, help me to preach one more time." That's every time I preach. On the platform, I know a dozen times in every service, whether I'm here or somewhere preaching around the country, I say, "God, help me. Oh, help me this one time. I don't ask you right now for anything else. Just give me strength to preach this one more time." And I pray that all the time. I've got to have His power. I've got to have His strength. I've got to have His help. See, the problem is we don't think we need God's help. If you thought you needed God's power in your life, you'd beg Him for it over and over and over again. If you really thought that you needed God's strength, if you thought God was the source of your strength and you could get strength by asking and asking and asking, you'd ask all the time. For 41 years, I've been a Baptist preacher, pastor. For 41 years, I've lived in a glass house. Every kind of a lie imaginable has been told about me, and I pray every day of my life, many times a day, "Don't let me retaliate. Don't let me retaliate. Oh, God, don't let me retaliate. Oh, God, give me power. Oh, God, give me power. Oh, God, give me wisdom. Oh, God, give me wisdom. Oh, God, give me love. Give me love. Oh, God, don't let me retaliate. Oh, God, give me strength." I know I pray this 500 times a week. Give me what my people need. Give me what my people need. I'm giving you tonight some little New Year's resolutions that will transform your life in 1989. Number one, if you will take God into everything you do. Everything you do. Nothing unimportant with God. Nothing. I don't care if you want some ice cream. God's concerned about every need of your life. God says, ask. Ask me. And he gets to a higher intensity. And God says, seek. What does that mean? That's a constant search. Constant search. Perennial needs. Number three. There's still a higher intensity. Asking. And more intensity. Seeking. But there is a higher intensity, and that's knocking. What does that mean? Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. If he won't, Lord, give me something. If he won't answer you, start knocking. Just keep on knocking. When I think about this, I think about Jim Vineyard's baby boy. He's not a baby anymore, but he was a little tyke. I was preaching in Dallas, Texas on a Sunday night at the opening session of a great Store of the Lord convention. The 10,000-seat convention center downtown Dallas is packed and jammed. I was staying in a hotel about a half a block or a block from the convention center. I got there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I left about 6:30 to go preach that night. About 4 o'clock, somebody knocked on my door. Well, I didn't have time to go to the door. First place, it was sort of a convention hotel, and delegates were there, and if I answer the door one time, I'll answer it. And I didn't go. Kept on knocking. I didn't go. Kept on knocking. 30 minutes passed. Kept on knocking. 45 minutes passed. I was so mad I wanted to choke the guy out there. Kept on knocking. An hour passed. Same knock. Kept on knocking. I want you to know for 2.5 hours. Now, he said, why didn't you go to the door? By that time, I was too stubborn to go to the door. You don't believe that, do you? You can't comprehend me being that way, I'm sure. But anyway, finally, after 2.5 hours, I went to the door. And there stood the cutest little boy you ever saw in your life with a newspaper. He said, Dr. Hiles, I bought this newspaper for you because I know you're from Dallas. You want to have the Dallas paper. I felt like a bum. You know why I felt like a bum? I was a bum. And I got thinking, that's exactly what God wants us to do. Keep on knocking. I didn't answer. I didn't say I'm busy. If I went to the washroom, I tiptoed. I turned a page of the Bible. I turned it softly. But he knew I was in there. He kept on knocking. Now this is the third degree of intensity. Ask. That's everything. You're the mundane things of life. Seek. That's the perennial big things you need all the time. Got to have it all the time. Well, in some cases, some of you folks would pray for ice cream all the time. But a third is the heaviest, most intense knock. What's that? That's crisis needs. That's crisis needs. That's the closed doors of life. That's the Jericho walls of life. That's the Red Seas of life. That's the Jordan Rivers of life. That's the no way possibles of life. That's the uncrossable mountains of life. That's the uncrossable rivers of life. God says there's some things that you've got to keep on knocking, keep on knocking, keep on knocking, keep on knocking, keep on. The miracles. That's what Jesus is talking about in Mark chapter 9. When they came to him and this fellow had come to Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the fellow brought his son to Jesus and said, to the disciples, and said, would you heal my boy? He's possessed of the devil. And the disciples without Jesus could not do it. When Jesus and Peter, James, and John came back from that little sneak preview of the kingdom with Moses and Elijah, the man came to Jesus and said, my son is possessed of a devil. He said, would you take care of it? Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus healed his son. After he was gone, the disciples came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said, I'll tell you why. He said, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The miraculous kind, the supernatural kind, the kind that the whole neighborhood will know God has done it, that kind. That's the knocking kind. Just keep on knocking. This kind. It is Joshua facing Jericho's walls. It is Moses facing the Red Sea. It is Gideon with 300 men facing the mighty host of the Midianites. Keep on knocking. Now this year, next year, 89, why don't you decide to ask? What does that mean? That means the immediate things, the mundane things, the normal routine things of life. This next year, why don't you decide to seek? Why don't you find those things you got to have all the time? You got to have strength all the time. You got to have health all the time. You got to have power all the time. You ought to have love all the time. You ought to forgive all the time. And ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. And the Bible says that's the second thing. But he said there are some things in your life it's going to take a miracle to fail. Some things in life, there are walls of Jericho that, humanly speaking, you can't bring down. There are red seas that you cannot cross without a miracle. There are wild and raging Jordan rivers you cannot cross. You'll never enter into your promised land without a miracle. What is it tonight that you're thinking about right now? What is it that you need more than anything else in all the world? What is it that causes you to wake up in the night with tears down your cheeks? What is it that causes you to turn and toss and tumble at night? And what is it that you think about when you wake up to turn over in bed? What is it comes into your mind tonight? What is it you want more than life? What is it you'd give that arm? Well, of course, you'd give that arm most anything. I don't want yours. What is it that you'd give that right arm? Don't let that scare you, folks. I won't flex it all the way. And I can't. It busts out the coat right there when I do it all the way. And it's not here for your harm. It's here for your protection. So don't be afraid. Feel secure. But what is it tonight? What is it tonight that you'd give your arm for? What is it you want more than you want your life? What is it? Jesus said, just keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. I knocked for 28 years because of my throat problems. 28 years I knocked. I begged God and begged God and begged God for 28 years to let me preach a sermon without having to clear my throat. How I pleaded. Knocked and knocked and knocked. And after 28 years, God came down and miraculously took care of my problem. I could not tell you how much I enjoy preaching in the last four and a half years. I can't tell you the joy of walking to a pulpit. I preached at a church Monday and Tuesday in Ocala where I'd never preached before. Used to, when I'd preach in a church like that, I'd say, oh, my folks, oh, these folks don't know my problem, and they're going to laugh at me, and the kids, the teenagers are going to snicker. They don't know my problem. Oh, God, you've got to help me. I cannot tell you. I don't care what it is. God is powerful enough to take care of your problem. Ask for the mundane things of life. Seek for the things you've got to have all the time. But those miracles that you need, knock, knock, knock. For 17 years, I prayed for Ms. Howes' father to get saved. 17 years. For God to save him. I'd witnessed to him. One of the finest men you'd ever meet. But not interested in God. Not one bit interested in God. I'd say, Papaw. Now I'm Papaw. I'd say, Papaw. You're going to have to die one of these days. He said, don't talk about that. Don't want to talk about that. Not interested in that. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. I could ask him for anything in the world. And he loved me too. I could ask him for anything in the world. He'd respond. I could talk about anything. He enjoyed being with me. We were good buddies and friends. But brother, when I started talking about God or Christ, he just, not interested in that, not interested in that, not interested in that, not interested in that. 17 years. I know I prayed myself 17 years every day for God to save Papaw Slaughter. I was preaching in Texas. I got burdened for Papaw one Monday, and it was his birthday on Tuesday. It was his 70th birthday. Since he was 53, I'd prayed. Now, 70th birthday. I thought, he may not have long to live. I'm going to go see him. I drove over on Tuesday afternoon. Papaw was home. He's retired then. He owned a feed store, a wholesale and retail feed store businessman for years and years and years. Now he's retired. I walked over. I walked in. I said, Papaw, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about your soul. You're going to die. He said, don't have time for that. Don't have time for that. Don't have time. Don't want to talk about that. Don't have time for that. And I said, Papaw, you're going to take time. I said, you're going to listen to me right now, or I'm going to go get a loudspeaker and put it on the top of my car. And I'm getting in front of your house. And every neighbor in this whole neighborhood is going to hear me witness to you out loud. I'm going to say, Mr. C.M. Slaughter, this is your son-in-law. Romans 3:10 says, 3:23. I said, either you listen to me in the quiet of your living room while nobody's here but the two of us, or the whole neighborhood's going to hear me witness to you out in the front. He said, go ahead and talk. Hard as nails. Hard as nails. I told him how to be saved. I began to ask him if I could pray. In fact, I went ahead and prayed without asking. And I prayed for God to save him. And I felt the warmth of a tear on that hand right there. I had my hand over like this on his leg. I felt the warmth of a tear. I'm not very smart, but I knew it wasn't my tear because tears don't go out, tears go down. Another bit of wisdom I'm imparting to you tonight. And I never will forget. I said, Papa, would you pray? He began to pray, and he said these words. He said, almost word for word, he said, dear God, he said, I've never come to you before. But he said, I thank you that I have a son-in-law whom I can trust. May I tell you where he learned how to trust me? When I got out of the army, we lived there. We slept in their house for a while I went to college nearby. But I laid oak floor, and I rode to work with Papa and rode back home with him. He saw my hands blistered, and he saw the fact that I worked hard. And he found out that I became the fastest oak floor layer in all Dallas County. And he became proud of me. And what my talking couldn't do, my working and my sweat and my blood did. He said, thank you. I have a son-in-law whom I can trust. He said, in the presence of my son-in-law, as best I know how, I now receive Jesus as my Savior. I called Bob Keyes, who was pastor of the Galilean Baptist Church in Dallas. I said, Bob, could I borrow your baptistry tonight? He said, what time? I said, 11 o'clock. I'm preaching over in Garland. I said, I'll get through there about 9:30. I said, I was just one father-in-law to Jesus. I want to baptize him tonight. Bob filled the baptistry. 9 people that night met about 11 o'clock. And as I walked in the baptistry, on his 70th birthday, the people started singing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, Mr. Slaughter, happy birthday to you. And Papa leaned over to me and he said, I got 2 birthdays in one, don't I, son? Yeah. Yeah, 17 years. That's what God's saying. Oh, you say, I don't believe in prayer. I'm bitter at God. I asked Him for a miracle, and it was 3 days, and I didn't get it. Try 28 years. Try 17 years. The other day at the college, I was sitting, Dr. Evans making announcements, asking a prayer request, and he praised God that Bill Grady's dad had gotten saved. And Dr. Jorgensen leaned over and whispered to me, with emotion, and said, thank you, preacher, for winning my daddy to Christ. Dr. Jorgensen's daddy was unsaved. You listen to me. His daddy was unsaved. Several years ago, I prayed for the man. Every day of my life, I prayed God to save him. Dr. Jorgensen came one day and said, my daddy's terminally ill. I said, where does he live now? He said, he lives out here in Hebron. I'd prayed for him for a long time, every day. I didn't tell Dr. Jorgensen. I just tiptoed out by myself. Well, I didn't tiptoe. I rode the car. But the car tiptoed. And out to Hebron, Indiana. I found his house out there. There he was. Cancer. He was very rational. And by the way, a very educated man. And just an older Dr. Jorgensen, that's all. An intellectual nut. But a great man, like Dr. Jorgensen is. And a man of intellect and very rational. He was up and about, but he was not bedfast. And I told him, I said, I've been praying for you for a long time. And this man that nobody could reach, all of a sudden he began to melt. And there he got saved. God is saying, I got some big miracles for you, but you have to keep on knocking. You may have to knock 5 years. May have to knock 17 years. May have to knock for 28 years. Those are the 3 words our Lord gives us about prayer. Asking, everyday, mundane, immediate needs. Seeking, things that you need all the time. The things that every day you've got to have, every moment you've got to have. seek and seek, keep on seeking, knocking the miraculous things, the crisis needs that come into your life. God says, keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. I close with this. Monday night, I went to bed with the heaviest heart I've had in a long time. And I was in Florida. My heart was heavy because I had to come back Wednesday morning. Nice weather, but I would know my heart was heavy. Heaviest heart I've had in a long time. Almost so heavy I was selfish. And I've been begging God to help me about something. And Monday night I went to sleep. Went to bed and I couldn't sleep. Now normally through the years, I go to sleep in a hurry. But I couldn't sleep. After about an hour and a half, I said, God, you must be keeping me awake for a purpose. I got out of bed, put on my clothes, spent the night awake. And about sunup, God gave me why He told me to stay awake. And He gave me what I think is the answer to the problem and the burden I carried that night. I'd like to testify tonight in closing. I'd like to testify what a good God we have. I'd like to brag on how interested He is in every little need. Whether it's an all-night of prayer on a Monday night begging God for help about a burden, or whether it's a little dish or a half gallon of frozen yogurt. God says, I'm interested in every little need of your life. Now, why don't you decide in 1989 that you're going to just bring Him in to everything. Old Dr. John Rice used to say, he said, I don't keep any secrets from God. He said, if I want something I shouldn't have, I go ahead and ask God for it. And usually He got it. And he says, I'm not going to have any secrets from God. Why don't you decide every interest of your life, you're going to bring God into it. Every crevice of your life, every activity of your life, even the small, minute needs of your life, you'd be amazed at the wonder of it all. Let me suggest, testify and tell you how good He's been about those things. Little things that happen to us that cause us to rejoice and shout. Little wonderful, wonderful blessings along the way that He drops as manna from heaven, as handfuls of purpose. Could I testify again how good He's been to give me the things I have to seek, perennially ask for, all the time. All the time. Thank Him for His strength tonight. All these many years, thank Him for His strength. I got a letter this week. A fellow wrote me a letter and said, I can't enjoy the first part of the services for looking at you, Brother Hiles. He said, I see a weary old warrior when I see you on the platform. He said, I see a weary old warrior, and I pray for you. How I thank God for His perennial answers, for His wisdom He's given me all these years, for the power He's given me all these years, for the strength He's given me all these years, for the love He's given me all these years, for the forbearance He's given me, for the patience not to retaliate. And all these things I need all the time. How good God has been. And then let me thank Him tonight and praise Him for the great miracles, the Jordan rivers that we've crossed together, the Jericho walls that I've seen crumble, the Red Seas that I've seen divided, the Midianite armies I've seen put to flight. Thank God tonight for His interest in my immediate needs, for His interest in my perennial needs, and for His interest in my crisis needs. The same is true for you. One of the greatest things you'd ever do for yourself as you start a new year, a week from today, if you'd just say, dear God, I'm going to start asking, I'm going to start seeking, and I'm going to start knocking. Asking for my immediate needs, seeking for my perennial needs, and knocking for my crisis needs.
We have no idea how wonderful God is. We've not yet tapped the source of His resource to the greatness and the goodness of our God. Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Jesus said, when you pray, ask, seek, and knock. Would you bow your heads, please?